This is Cruise Radio.
I cruise a lot, and I always sail with travel insurance. You should, too. Get a free quote today at tripinsurance.com.
Broadcasting from the tripinsurance.com studios in Jacksonville, Florida.
This is
Cruise Radio.
Hey, how's it going? Thank you so much for checking out this episode of Cruise Radio. Very happy to have you here, my friend. When Carnival Vista was sailing out of Texas, Justin took a Western Caribbean cruise on it, and he joins us to talk all about it. How you doing, my friend?
All doing pretty good, Doug.
Awesome. Well, I'm excited to hear about Vista, a ship that's had some little bit of issues throughout the past few months. So before we get to the ship itself, we're going to take a step back and get some pre-cruise thoughts. What made you want to take this seven-nighter on Vista?
Oh, man, like all of us, since about 2018, I haven't been able to cruise. My last one was May 2018. Mm-hmm. You know, had some, of course, personal issues like a lot of us go through financially, and then, of course, all of us got the pandemic. So this was actually my first cruise back. This was my first time sailing the Vista. I'd wanted to sail on it since she was commissioned, and this is my first opportunity. So, yeah, this was my return to cruising after the pandemic.
A good one to be back on. So you make your way over to Texas to board Carnival Vista. Any pre-cruise time down there at the port before you boarded?
Yeah, so, you know, pre-cruise stuff, I booked the room, and I had booked a balcony. And, you know, of course, Vista Class has the Havana area. Well, I kind of regretted it that I didn't book the Havana. So the next day, I called back my, what do they call them, PVP, mm-hmm. Personification Planner, and I upgraded my room to a aft balcony Havana room. So, you know, I thought that was pretty, I always wanted an aft balcony room. So, yeah, well, of course, we'll get to that.
Very good. So you make your way to the port to embark Carnival Vista. How was that embarkation process?
It went pretty smooth. Embarkation was pretty smooth. We got to the port. We actually got an email saying, hey, you know, be about an hour ahead of time of your embarkation thing. I'm not sure what the reason was for that. So we did, and we got there about 30 minutes early. So we got there about 10:30. I think my boarding time was 11 or so. And went pretty smooth. So 10:30 at the port, and we were at the desk at 11:01.
Wow.
Yeah, it was pretty good. I'd say that was pretty good.
Yeah, and, I would say so. So you go to board Carnival Vista. Of course, you've been wanting to sail this one since 2016. So what were your impressions when you walked on board?
So, you know, it's kind of nice that everything's kind of still in the same spot as the other ships. I've been on the Magic, the Breeze, the Dream, of course. Everything's still in the same spot, just a little larger. And, you know, it kind of seemed like I remember Lido being more music, like louder. It seemed quieter. Mm-hmm. Not sure what the reason was for that, or if it was just something, you know, in my head or whatever. So, yeah, but it's definitely a nice ship. And, you know, of course, the funnel screen was pretty impressive to see finally. I was pretty happy about it.
I can't remember. Is Vista the ship they rolled out the LED Dreamscape, or was that the next one, Horizon?
No, this has that on it. Yes.
Oh, it does.
The Dreamscape, I think they also refer to it as a funnel screen in the middle of the lobby. Mm-hmm. It's shaped like a huge funnel, but it's a giant LED screen. And it was pretty neat because it actually changed scene with whatever port you were in. So like in Jamaica, it was like a rainforest. And then when we were around Grand Cayman, it was like an underwater scene. So yeah, they change it depending on what port you're in, apparently.
You mentioned you booked a Havana cabin on Carnival Vista, and was it an aft-facing one, you said, correct?
Correct, yeah.
Okay, and how was that cabin for you throughout the week, and did you like that Havana access that you had to the pool and everything?
Yeah, so, you know, I guess this is a what you'd say, a double-edged sword. I wanted an aft balcony. And, you know, I've had quite a few balconies, so it's nothing new there. But I think I didn't like that it didn't have any shade over it, even though I still liked the aft balcony. It was nice to have a little bit of extra room. But honestly, I didn't use the balcony as much as I normally would, mm-hmm. because I just went down to the van area, you know, because, you know, right. We had the hot tubs and the pool and the chairs. I think it was really nice. It was never very crowded there. Now, the Havana bar would get crowded for they had karaoke in there. Mm-hmm. So, but I was usually on the outside portion.
So then I'm trying to think here. So the Havana pool in the back there is located on deck 5. So you were like right there above, like on 6, 7, or 8.
I believe my room was on the 7th floor. Yeah. room was on the seventh floor. So it was two floors up. And yeah, it was nice. You could see the pool area and everything.
Yeah.
And I really did like the aft balcony. It's just, you know, I didn't spend much time there because it was just easier just to go down the Havana area. And of course, I had a bar there. So
when you're staying in a Havana cabin, I know you get like the pool access on the back of the ship there. But was there anything different about the balcony compared to other balconies on a Carnival ship?
I think this was part of the aft extended balcony. I think the furniture, they had more of like a the longer lounger chairs, not, you know, like on the regular balconies, they just have like a sitting vertically chair. These had actually like a lay down, like a poolside chair.
Gotcha.
And they had like a little end table, which I think the regular balconies do have like an end table.
Gotcha.
But yeah, I think they were decorated probably a little nicer.
How many people did you have in your stateroom?
Oh, it was just me and my girlfriend in the one room, but we traveled with my brother and my sister-in-law. So there were four of us in my party. So
were they in the Havana area as well?
Yes, they were.
How did the cabin space stack up for you and the girlfriend?
Oh, yeah, it was fine. It was on the smaller side, I think. It was not a larger room. Mm-hmm. Let's put it that way. It was a normal size room as far as I think the only thing we got extra was the extra balcony space. But, you know, like you say, we don't spend much time in the room anyway, so it really didn't bother us.
Yeah, hear ya.
But, yeah, for two people, it was plenty of room.
Sure. Let's talk about dining on board Carnival Vista. We'll start at the top there on the Lido deck where the Lido Marketplace, Guys, Blue Iguana, all that's located. So we'll start at the buffet. How was that?
Buffet was what I remember. And I think we were actually back to self-serve. It was not someone serving you. And, yeah, of course, Guy's Burger was good as usual. And I'm a big fan of Blue Iguana on for breakfast especially. I love their breakfast burritos.
Yeah.
So that's usually where I would be for breakfast.
How about the – I know – like I noticed the past few Carnival sailings I've been on since the resumption of cruising, the pizza area has just been so freaking slow. How was it on your sailing?
You know, I kind of noticed the same thing. And, you know, of course, I try to give some concessions because talking with some of the crew members, they were shorthanded. They did say, yeah, we're shorthanded. So sometimes I'll go get pizza and it was like one person in there. Where I think on the other ships, I was used to seeing two, and it was slow. We'd have a line, you know, across the back of the ship waiting on pizza. They were suffering from some staffing issues, yes. All the guys made, you know, tried to help out as much as they could. They were really, you could tell they were really trying, you know.
How about the main dining room? What time dining did you have, and how was your experience in there throughout the week?
So our dining, we had any time. And actually, the first night, we didn't go to the dining room. We actually booked a steakhouse. Because, of course, I think they give you the free bottle of wine at your meal on the first night. Yeah, so the first night we went to the steakhouse, and I had the ice-smoked oysters and a spice rub ribeye, and that was really good. And the girlfriend had the surf and turf lobster and filet, of course. My brother had the boiled lobster, and he eats a lot of lobster, and he claimed it was probably the best one he has ever had. Wow. So we were pretty impressed with that. And a sister-in-law got the colossal shrimp, and they were no joke. They were really big shrimp, so nice. They fit their name. So the anytime dining seemed to go well. Every time we booked a time, it seemed like there wasn't a very long wait till we were seated. I had some good meals in there, too.
What was your favorite meal?
You know, I can't really remember at the point. I remember there being like a salmon. I can't remember what it was called. It was a salmon something.
That teriyaki glazed salmon is so good.
I think that's what it was. Yeah. It did have a glaze on it. It's probably what it was. And I also remember they had like a barbecue pulled pork. I think it was when we left Jamaica. Mm-hmm. And that one really stood out to me. It was pretty good. I usually try to get like the dish of the port that you leave in. You know, they have those little specials.
Mm-hmm.
I usually like trying to do that.
And what'd you think of the entertainment on board?
I found it pretty good. Seemed like, you know, they had the violins playing in the lobby, you know, with the screen and everything. They had a lot of comedy. And of course, our cruise director was Kendall Fire, and she'd actually come around and visit with us, which was something I think that's the first cruise director I've actually seen do that.
Yeah.
Or maybe I was just never lucky enough to be where they were visiting. A lot of comedy shows, and they were packed. I mean, they had a line. I don't know if you're familiar with what the comedy club is, but then they have the sports bar, and the line was past the sports bar. It was actually blocking the sports bar entrance, and the comedy venue was full. It was real good. We went to some bingo. We went to a couple shows in the auditorium. What do they call it? But those were also very full. We had some pretty good entertainment, I thought.
Yeah, very cool. So it sounds like you had the shows and the music around the ship. Anything like steel drums or anything by the pool?
They did have it. I didn't get to really go. I passed through while they were playing. Seemed like the guy was really good, but yeah, I didn't get to really make any of the DJ. I didn't get to make any of the deck parties because we were usually off doing something else.
Plus, you had that swanky aft pool on deck 5 too.
Right. Yeah, I was back there trying to sing karaoke.
Yeah, there you go. Nice. Well, how about the days at sea? Like, how crowded was the ship in your opinion, and how did the ship handle as far as crowds and congestion?
Yeah, so as far as I could tell, you know, I don't know. I don't even know how to really look up, see what kind of capacity we were at. But I seemed like it was pretty full. But the ship seemed to handle it well, I guess, with the extra room. It was never really super crowded. You know, I went to, like, the Lido pool, and there were a lot of people there. But it didn't seem any, I guess you say, any more full than I remember, than I remember from other cruises. So I think it was about average on the capacity, and the ship handled it well.
Gotcha. How was the smoke situation in and around the casino?
So actually my real job, I work at a casino. So I don't, you know, really want to go to work while I'm not at work, but I did pass through, and the, you know, the smoke was there, but I did eat. The sushi place is not far from the casino on the Vista class ships. You know, like there, I didn't notice the smoke smell. But when you get closer to the casino and of course, through the casino, it was definitely prominent. But like I said, it didn't really spill over. Let's see, the sports bar was also right by the casino, and I spent some time there, and I didn't really notice it very much in the sports bar either.
Let's talk about the ports of call you went to on this cruise out of Texas. What we'll do here is let's start with the first port. Give us a highlight, then we'll move to the next one.
So it was our second sea day on the way to Jamaica when we got the notification that we were going to be late to Jamaica. We were having propulsion issues. This, you know, seems to be some propulsion issues on most of the Vista class ships right now. So we were late into Jamaica. We actually got off the ship in Jamaica at about 2 p.m. when I would normally be getting back on the ship. So that was, you know, but I was just happy to be back on a cruise, be back in Jamaica. I didn't let it bother me much. We had booked an excursion for, it was an ATV ride around the island, and we had a lot of rain. So actually we got on the shuttle to bring us to the excursion, and on the way there we got notified that it was canceled, and they turned us around and brought us back to the ship. So, you know, that was a little upsetting. The shuttle driver, his of course other job is he does tours, so he'd offered us to go to take us on a tour, but I really didn't know where I wanted to go, so we just kind of hung out at the port, you know, grabbed a beer, watched the dancers, shopped a little bit, and you know, I was just happy to be back in Jamaica, and they all handled it well. So yeah, and we were taken care of. Of course, we were reimbursed, and I think they compensated us a little bit some other way, and I can't remember, you know, probably some onboard credit or something. Yeah. But I can't exactly remember what it was.
That's pretty convenient. The shuttle driver also operates tours on the side.
Yeah. I should, and, you know, now thinking, I guess that would be, you know, if I had any advice for someone, first piece of advice is maybe have something in mind that as a backup plan. Because, you know, like now thinking, like I could have got him to take me down. I wouldn't mind seeing, what was it, Trench Town, where Bob Marley, like, first, you know, started to learn how to play music. Yeah. I wouldn't mind a pass there. I could have done that. So that would be some advice.
Gotcha. And then after your stop in Jamaica, what was next?
So unfortunately, also on that second sea day before Jamaica, we got informed we were going to miss Grand Cayman. And that was kind of, you know, upsetting, because last time I was in Grand Cayman was 2015. And I didn't have anything planned then. And when I said, when I come back, I'm going snorkeling. I had my snorkeling excursion booked, and of course that all got canceled. We didn't even stop in Grand Cayman. So, but you know, again, I was, you know.
So then you went to what, Cozumel?
Yeah, Cozumel was the next one. And we actually made it to Cozumel early. Everything went fine, docked and everything. And we went to Mr. Sancho's. We booked that. It's not a Carnival excursion, but I usually go there. So a great time taken care of. You know, actually, I think they were better than what I remember them being. And my girlfriend actually told me this was her first trip to there, to Mr. Sancho's. And she told me later, she tells me, she's like, you know, when you like something, you tend to kind of talk it up a lot. But she said this place was everything that you told me it was. So she was pretty impressed. So yeah, we had a good time in Cozumel, did a little shopping, and back to the ship. It was a good day.
Awesome. Yeah, you can't really go wrong with either of those, with Mr. Sancho's or Nachi Kokum, just because it's so, I mean, like your expectations are completely managed, right? You're having your food, the beach, the drinks, the pool, and what else could you ask for? The transportation?
Yeah.
Just
both great places. And there's a couple on that whole little strip. And from what I understand, they're all great places. You can't go wrong with any one of them, really.
After Cozumel, was it back to Texas?
Yeah.
Gotcha.
So it was a sea day, and then of course Texas was the third day, and so sea day was a sea day. We did some comedy, played some mini golf, played a lot of mini golf on every day. So
you do any golfing on land?
No, I'm not a golfer. I'm only a mini golfer.
Gotcha. Well, how was the debark in Texas?
Oh, yeah. So disembarkation and nothing Cornwall's problem. The trip home was a little rough, but so we of course had to get out of our rooms, and like 8:15. Was the first announcement. It was about 9 o'clock was the second announcement. We had to get out of the rooms and, into public areas. And I think they had a lot of trouble with people going down, to the lobby to disembark when it wasn't their time. And we actually didn't make it to the parking lot, waiting on our shuttle to pick us up, to bring us back to the car until 11:50.
Wow.
So it seemed like it took quite some time to disembark the ship. Well, there were a lot of people kind of frustrated with it, but I'm not positive it was Carnival's problem. It was probably people going down before their time.
See, and that exactly is where the issue is, because you're assigned or you pick a time to get off the ship, but you try to get off even earlier and your bag's not ready because they come out in waves. So you're stuck there waiting and clogging everything up.
Right. And then you're standing around clogging that up, And we actually carried our bags off, all of us. So we should have been some of the first ones to get off. And that wasn't until, 11:50, we made it to the parking lot.
Where did y'all come in from?
I live in a little town called Eunice, Louisiana. So it's about 3 or 4 hours from Galveston.
Okay. I was going to wonder.
Yeah, so I've left out of Galveston. I've left out of New Orleans. I'm kind of right in the middle of both of them.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah.
Do you have any first-time tips for anyone, either sailing out of Texas or on Carnival Vista?
I guess my thing would be, don't let the little hiccups like the missed ports or the canceled excursions bother you. You still made it on vacation. You're still having a good time. And, have that backup plan or excursion thing in case yours gets canceled. I could have been able to do something else, so now I'm kind of wishing I had that backup plan now.
Looking back, what was the biggest highlight of this cruise for y'all?
I actually want to say it's probably the Havana area. It was just being back on the ship, and the little Havana area was kind of nice. And even being short staff, the staff treated everybody. I saw a door on the Lido deck, the automatic doors, they were having trouble with one, and it hit this guy's arm, knocked his plate of food out of his hand. It was right there at the Blue Iguana. Well, the guy behind the line at the Blue Iguana, I guess, had just fixed his tacos for him. So, it knocked his food out of his hand. I said, well, let me go get this sign. I want somebody to clean it up. Well, one of the fun squad guys jumped in and said, oh, no, I got it. Well, this guy behind the line fixed the guy another plate of tacos and goes hand it to him, without even being asked, not even missing a lick before he even realized what was going on. And, the guy was on his way, and they were trying to take care of us, even as shorthanded as they were.
And in closing, your final thoughts of Carnival Vista?
I'm pretty happy. I thought it was going to be bigger. I guess in my head it was a Mardi Gras class ship, but it's not quite there. It's what, about only 500 people more than a Dream class?
Yeah, something like that. Not too much bigger.
But I'm still impressed. The upgrades, the new screen, the Dreamscape screen was nice. We went on the water slides, the kaleidoscope water slides was nice. I think it's some nice upgrades, some nice progress on ships.
Well, Justin, I sure appreciate you taking the time to give us this review, and have a good one, man.
All right. Thank you, Doug.
Have a question or a comment for the show?
Yeah!
Send an email or voice memo to doug@cruiseradio.net.
A big question we get at Cruise Radio is, how do I know if I need trip insurance? Simple answer, if you're getting on a plane, taking a road trip, or getting on a cruise ship, you need to have travel insurance. Hey, it's Doug Parker from my friends at TripInsurance.com. Not only does TripInsurance.com protect your vacation investment, but it also gives you peace of mind in case anything were to go wrong on your trip. How do they do it? They offer three different types of trip insurance policies. Good, better, and best. One policy for every vacation budget. But it doesn't just stop there. They're up to 40% lower when you shop around on other comparison sites. Plus, TripInsurance.com offers 24-hour customer support before, during, and after your trip, online claims assistance, and travel alerts to let you know what's going on at your destination. But find out for yourself. Check out TripInsurance.com.
The world is constantly changing. Your place for news is still the same. Online and on demand at cruiseradio.net.
We always enjoy answering your questions. If you ever have one, drop us a line, doug@cruiseradio.net. Today, we're answering your trip insurance questions, and joining us to field your questions is Dan Skilkin, president of tripinsurance.com. How you doing, Dan?
I'm doing great, Doug.
The first question comes from Scott. He said, there are a lot of coverages that we simply aren't interested in or don't need. We really just want medical evacuation and secondary medical / accidental insurance. Is there a way to purchase a bare bones policy, picking and choosing just a few coverages we want because we want to save some money?
Hi, Scott. For most comprehensive travel insurance policies, if you declare a trip cost of $1 when you buy the plan, you're fundamentally waiving coverage for trip cancellation and trip interruption, which I think are the coverages that you're saying you probably don't need. There's a lot of other stuff in there that you were mentioning that might actually be really nice to have, and they're very inexpensive in terms of the coverage. If you declare a trip cost of $1, then you're waiving the coverage for trip cancellation and trip interruption. Both of those benefits are based on a percentage of your declared trip cost. If you declare a trip cost in your travel insurance plan of $1,000, for instance, then a better or best plan on the market would cover you for 100% for canceling for a covered reason up to $1,000. And then 150% for trip interruption, or $1,500. And the reason that they give you that extra 50% for the trip interruption coverage is because if you interrupt your trip and you must return home for a covered reason, they're covering the loss on the balance of your trip and the extra cost to get you home in the same classes of service that you originally booked. If you get hurt in the first couple of days of your cruise, they're going to pay for all of the balance of your cruise and get you home. When you declare a trip cost of $1, you don't have these coverages. So what you're left with is a policy that's covering your medical and medical evacuation. You also get some travel delay and missed connection benefit in the plan, typically some baggage coverage, life insurance, and sometimes coverage for a rental car if you're renting, depending upon the plan. You're going to find this coverage better and generally less expensive than an annual travel medical plan if you're insuring individual trips for the year. But it's important to know where your risk exposure is when you're buying a plan and not covering trip cancellation and trip interruption. You may be thinking you can cancel your vacation that you just booked maybe 30 days or 2 weeks before your travel and get 100% refund, so I don't need cancellation coverage. But most of the claims that we see coming in are from last-minute medical cancellations that happen in those last 2 weeks. And once you depart on your vacation, if you're hurt in the first few days of the trip, as we discussed, you could lose what you paid for the rest of the trip and the extra cost to get your home that would have normally been paid for by your trip interruption coverage.
Very good. Amanda sent me this next question. She said, I was reading an article about a family of five that missed their cruise because of snow delays and cancellations. They did not have travel insurance, but I'm curious, would a policy cover every single expense paid out of pocket if they did have one, including cruise fare, airfare, and hotel?
Amanda, it would be helpful if I knew what the snow delay was, but let's try to answer this in a general sense here. If you miss your ship departure because of a travel delay of a common carrier, so the snow caused the airline delays that caused you to miss your trip, your travel insurance will cover your lost days at sea and the extra expense to get you to the next port of call. If the delay was a driving delay, so there are a lot of people that may be driving to the port, and there's snow on the roads, and that's why you're delayed. You're only covered in most plans if the roads were completely shut down, preventing you from getting to the boat, not just because you had to drive slow. Some of the plans on our site will cover you if you miss more than half your cruise because of a travel delay. So if you booked a short vacation and you're going to miss more than half of it, they'll let you cancel, and they'll cover the entire trip for as a covered reason for trip cancellation. So you definitely have some coverage in the event of a missed departure, but it depends upon the delay and generally only covers the extra expense you incurred and lost at the time and your loss of time on the ship.
Next question comes from Stuart. My American Express provides travel insurance, and it looks pretty detailed. Would a third-party policy still help?
Stuart, this is a great question, and we get this a lot because a lot of people think maybe I don't need travel insurance because I bought the trip on my credit card. And Amex is only one. They're most of the more expensive credit cards, the platinum cards and that sort of thing, have some level of travel insurance coverage. So I went on the web and reviewed the Amex Platinum travel insurance coverage for trips purchased with the card. And I always encourage clients to read the coverage details so that you understand what's actually covered and what isn't. The card has more limited covered reasons for cancellation. In other words, they put an awful lot more limits on the covered reason. They don't have that many covered reasons for cancellation. And they limit the total cancellation and trip interruption coverage. They have about a third of the general covered reasons for cancellation. And they limit coverage for cancellation to $10,000 per person and $20,000 per year. If there's two people traveling and the trip's more than 20 grand, you don't have complete coverage for trip cancellation or trip interruption on it. And trip interruption or misconnection only covers you for coach tickets, even if you purchase business class. Like I said, as you dive into the details on these plans, there is some coverage there, but it's not as comprehensive as you can buy from a third-party website like tripinsurance.com that'll give you much better coverage and much better peace of mind on your vacation.
Next question comes from Rich. If my health insurance covers my incident because we're within U.S. waters, can I still use my travel insurance as a secondary policy?
Travel insurance, this is a great time to talk about primary versus secondary coverage. Travel insurance is typically the medical coverage on it is either primary or secondary, meaning that for medical expenses, if it's primary, the travel insurance covers your medical costs before you have to file with your medical insurance company. If it's secondary, you have to file with your medical insurance company first, get a copy on how they handle the claim, and then send it with your claim to the travel insurance company to get paid. We typically recommend primary coverage when you're buying a plan. The secondary coverage always pays what was not paid by the primary coverage. Rich, in your particular case, if you filed a claim with your health insurance company and they paid a part of your expenses, say you had an annual deductible or any kind of deductible for the services, then yes, the travel insurance will cover the rest of the charges up to the coverage limit. But most plans, most travel insurance plans are primary coverage with a limit and no deductible. So we recommend people file with the travel insurance company. It'll just save you time getting paid.
Next question from Daniel. What happens if I book a cruise 2 years in advance, but the air schedules aren't out yet? Is it possible to go back and add that to my policy, or would it be a conflict with my cancel for any reason coverage?
Daniel, you can always add to your trip costs when you make additional travel arrangements with any travel insurance plan out there. You don't have to guess these costs when you buy the policy with a cancel for any reason plan. Just declare the trip cost of the expenses that you know that are subject to cancellation penalties, because that's the only thing you want to insure with a travel insurance policy is anything subject to a cancellation penalty. If it's not subject to cancellation penalties, you shouldn't insure it. And buy the plan within 2 weeks of making your initial deposit. That's very important. You could buy a travel insurance policy all the way up to the day before you depart. But if you want to get canceled for any reason coverage, you have to buy the policy within 2 weeks of making your initial deposit. Then, when you make additional travel arrangements, just send us or your insurance company an email requesting they increase your trip costs and they can modify your policy for you over the phone. Now, if you're getting your travel insurance through your cruise company, they typically will not cover expenses that you booked yourself. They are only covering the expenses you book through the cruise company. So this is one of the reasons why we encourage people to get a quote before you buy your insurance from your cruise company. Get a quote on tripinsurance.com for your cruise plus your travel, et cetera, because you may have more control and get better pricing on the airline tickets if you're booking them direct and then cover them using a general third-party policy that you get from a comparison website like tripinsurance.com.
And our last question here comes from Diane. We just went through Medicare open enrollment. Could you give some clarity on the coverage we have while traveling abroad or on a cruise ship?
This was a great question. We get this a lot right now as people are booking their trips and they really want to try to understand what their coverage is. First of all, regular Medicare Part A and Part B do not cover you internationally. The minute you leave the United States, you don't have medical coverage if that's all you have is Part A and Part B. Now, most people get an Advantage plan, which is a Part C, or they get a supplemental plan. And typically, then they sit back and they say, when I looked at my supplemental or my Advantage plan, it said that I have medical coverage while I'm out of the country, and so I'm covered. I don't need medical. But the truth is, if you look at the details, they only cover emergency medical services. So if you end up having to go to a hospital or an emergency room, yes, they'll cover the emergency room charges. But if you are really sick or really hurt and you have to be admitted to the hospital, you don't have longer-term hospital stay coverage. And universally, none of the plans that I know of offer medical evacuation coverage, which is the most serious expense that you could incur. And we have had a couple of customers that contacted us after the fact asking for help that had not bought travel insurance, and they needed medical evacuation help. And we were able to find them a resource, but it is unbelievably expensive to get home from a place like Spain or Europe or the Far East or South America without medical evacuation coverage. So we strongly encourage people, even if you have a supplemental plan or an Advantage plan, that buy travel insurance, get medical coverage and medical evacuation coverage so that you're fully covered while you're out of the country.
All right, Dan, if anyone has a question about their policy or maybe considering getting one, how can they contact you?
Doug, they can give us a call or send us an email at support@tripinsurance.com. We're happy to help you. Even if you're not buying travel insurance from us, we get a lot of listeners send us an email and ask for advice on their insurance. Yeah, just let us know how we can help. And any way that we can exceed your expectation for outstanding customer service, we're here to help.
Dan Skilkin, president of tripinsurance.com. Thank you, Dan. I sure appreciate you.
All right, Dougie, let's see what we got for you, buddy.
Cruise Radio is produced at the tripinsurance.com studios in Jacksonville, Florida. Get cruise news, ship reviews, and money-saving tips every Thursday on Cruise Radio. If you've enjoyed this episode, please subscribe to the show. If you want to help spread the word, give Cruise Radio a 5-star review. Find Cruise Radio where you listen to your favorite podcast or online at cruiseradio.net. I'm your announcer.